This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اجعل لي مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون. إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Today I want to share with you the latter part of the dua of Ibrahim عليه السلام, one of the last prayers of Ibrahim عليه السلام recorded in the Quran. This is again in his old age. He makes a dua that has now become a staple part of our salah. Many of you know it by heart. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Many of you that even have memorized that dua may not know that that's a dua that goes back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. These are his words that have become part of our prayer. You notice our salah, a lot of it is actually directly related to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Before we finish our prayer, in the Qurood, we send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as we do upon Ibrahim alaihi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. So that's you know the connection to Ibrahim alaihi salam is very present and very alive in every single one of our prayers. In any case, he says alaihi salam, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati, master, my master, make me someone who establishes the prayer. That's a pretty easy translation of the first phrase, my master. Make me someone that establishes the prayer. But there's some really remarkable things here that need our attention. The first of them is that Allah Azza wa Jal uses or teaches us the word ja'ala for transformation. So, you know, waj'alni min warathati jannatin na'im, in another dua he makes, make me from those who inherit jannah. So the word ja'ala is used when you don't have something and you want to get it. Right? And when he uses the word here, or even the prayer, وَجْعَلْ مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا, put for me, or you know, place for me an authority that will help me, meaning give me the power to help me. So ja'ala is used not when you have something and you want to keep it, but actually you don't have it and you want it. You want to get to something, you want to get to that point. Ibrahim alayhi salam is using that word as if to say he doesn't even acknowledge in himself or doesn't even claim in himself that he's someone who's already established the prayer. Ya Allah, make me someone who truly does establish the prayer. And the reason that's the case, even though of course he's the staple for prayer itself, he's the builder of the Kaaba. If he's not the one who establishes the prayer, then who else? But the ism, and the Arabic students here know, the ism fa'il is used. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي أَنْ أُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. No, مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. The ism fa'il is used, someone who constantly, without fail, establishes the prayer. Meaning someone who never fails in this obligation. Now, there's not one salah that goes by that he doesn't establish properly. He never ever takes any single one of those prayers loosely. You know, we have good days and bad days with our salawat. Some days you do pretty good, everything's on time. Other days you get a little bit lazy. Oh, I got 10 minutes. Maghrib's still around. Let me just shut my eyes for a little bit. You waver a little bit. Every prayer, you're actually making dua for the next prayer. Think about that. Before we end the prayer, we say, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. We're not even asking about that particular prayer. We're asking Allah to keep us constant for the coming prayers. We're making dua for the next salah to be part of our rizq. That's a very profound thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam says. The other thing here is, there are different phrases for the prayer. You know, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, people that are constant in their prayers. Or عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, people who guard their prayers. But then there's the phrase أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, to establish the prayer. Or أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. You've heard the phrase many times. It actually means more than just praying. It actually means turning the prayer into an institution. And of course, you've heard that the term became part of our deen when the iqama is being given. It's literally called the iqama of salah. Aqim as-salah. What does that mean? Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. The one giving the iqama gets everybody to stand up and we all pray together. When he's asking Allah, make me someone who establishes the prayer, he's actually saying not just that he himself becomes constant in the salah,
He's asking Allah to turn him into someone that other people come into contact with and they start praying too. That he becomes a reason for other people to make salah. He brings other people closer to Allah. And that brings us even to the literary meaning of the word salah. Make me someone who connects other people to Allah. The word salah means connection also. So make me not just someone who establishes the prayer, but make me someone who inspires other people to pray also. Just in his presence, people just want to pray, you know. And this is a dua every head of household, when we make it, you know, as the head of your household, then you're actually making this dua that the people in your household see you as an example and they pray behind you. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Tell your family to pray and stay constant with it. You know, inspire your family, advise your family, counsel your family to pray and stay with them. When you're at home and it's iftar time, you didn't make it to maghrib, your children are eating with you, okay, let's go everybody pray maghrib together. And you say, okay, boys, go make wudu. And your boy will go in 3 seconds, come back, I made wudu. No, you didn't. All right, let's go do it again. No, I did it. Where's, how are you so dry? Oh, I dry as quick. No, not that quick. Let's go do it again. Establish the prayer properly with your kids. Take time with them and pray with them. Join jama'ah with them. And for some of you, you don't recite Quran that well. So you're embarrassed to pray out loud with your children. Well, that'll force you to learn better, more Quran. But one of the memories your children should have of you is that you're leading the prayer for them. That's one of the memories they should have. And that makes you muqim as-salah. That's you fulfilling the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salati. And then he adds, wa min dhurriyati, and of my children also. Not only should my children be those who pray, secondly, they should be constant in their prayers, like I'm asking you to be, but also of my children, make them of those who inspire other people to come closer to Allah's deen. Those who connect other people to Allah also. Give that sadaqah jariyah to my children also, so they have sadaqah jariyah in their account, this continued charity in their account. What does it mean that you have continued charity? We come before Allah on Judgment Day with our own deeds. But Allah gave us this beautiful bonus package, which is that if you did something that inspired somebody else's good deeds, you get a share of that too. You can get that also. You get that reward also. And so what greater reward than you connecting other people to Allah so they connect with salah itself. And incidentally, because we're talking about salah, you should know something. As a reminder to myself and all of you, this is a month, a lot of our batteries are supercharged, the masjid is full, alhamdulillah, we're making salah. I'm reminding you of something. Establishing the prayer, the mandatory prayers, is such a huge part of our religion that salah itself is actually the same as Islam, is the same as iman. To Allah, there's actually, those two terms are the same. You know, when the Kaaba, we didn't pray towards Makkah, we used to pray towards Jerusalem. And when the Qibla was changed, some of the Jews said, oh, all your previous prayers are wasted. Like, they're not going to count because you were praying towards the wrong GPS address. So they basically mocked the Muslims. And Allah said, you know, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah will not waste your iman. Allah didn't say Allah will not waste your prayers. He said He will not waste your faith. That's Allah's way of saying your faith and your prayers to Allah are one and the same thing. You find in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah saying, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَى. This is called Ataf Bayan. He didn't accept the truth, he didn't pray. As if you accepted the truth, what's the first thing that should happen? Prayer. And if you're not praying, actually that means you didn't accept the truth. And the opposite of it, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. He called it a lie and turned his back. Well, turned his back from what? From the prayer. Turned away from the prayer. So the prayer itself is our iman, is our connection to Allah, is our road to that qalb salim that Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted. So he asks Allah that we should constantly be connected to Him. Every few hours we reconnect with Allah. This is our lifeline with Allah. Our true relationship with Allah. You know, this is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal that He granted Ibrahim alayhi salam. And can you imagine someone like Ibrahim alayhi salam, who's always connected to Allah? I mean, how connected to Allah do you have to be willing to do the kinds of things that he did alayhi salam? And he's saying, for me to truly have a connection with you, Ya Allah, keep me firm on the prayer. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. This also reminds me of what you know, with Musa alayhi salam. It's so profound what happened with Musa alayhi salam. He spoke with Allah directly on the mountain. He spoke to Allah directly. How is he going to ever forget that he spoke with Allah? How can someone ever forget Allah if they spoke with Allah directly? And Allah, when he was on the mountain, said to him, "Wa aqim as-salata li dhikri." Go establish the prayer so you can truly remember me. As if that's not really enough remembrance, the real remembrance will be when you stand in salah. Subhanallah. This is remembrance of Allah. This is the true connection or iman in Allah. So he says, "Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati." Then I remind myself and you, it's not an obligation that we're worried about. It's not, oh, it's fard, and if you don't do it, you're going to get this punishment and that punishment. That's not the point. We're missing the point. If the salah is not something that truly connects you to Allah, if it's not something that softens your heart with Allah, you haven't established salah. Salah is not these motions. Salah is not the ritual. Salah is the act of really, truly connecting our hearts with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that's what we want for ourselves. That's what we want for our children. When that happens, when a heart is connected to Allah in the prayer, then you see the benefits of the prayer. What are the benefits of the prayer? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The prayer will prevent you from falling into shameless things. The prayer will prevent you from all kinds of evil things. Evil things that are headed your way will go away from you because you have the security, the immune system of prayer. That's what salah is going to do. And if those things are happening, then maybe something's wrong with salah itself. Something's missing in the salah itself. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us those who establish the prayer properly. Wa taqabbal du'a. That's a remarkable ending of that statement. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal. It started with Rabbi. Now it's Rabbana. Arabic students here know it started with Master, make me, my Master. It's singular. And halfway through the dua, he says, our Master. He includes himself and his children and says, please accept dua. Please accept my prayer. Accept my prayer. Well, everything is a prayer. And of course, you're going to say, accept my prayer. But why? You don't have to say that, because every time you pray, you assume you're asking Allah to accept that prayer. When he adds the phrase, wa taqabbal dua, he's actually saying, of all my prayers, if there's one I really need acceptance of right away, the one I'm really desperate for you to answer is this one. So the fact that وَتَقَبَّلْ dua is at the end of that dua is very powerful. That of all the other prayers that Ibrahim a.s. made, he added وَتَقَبَّلْ dua over here. And then he adds later on, رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Master, forgive me. Our Master, forgive me. Forgive both of my parents. Forgive the believers, the day on which the audit will be established. Forgiveness came second. It's as though he understands he is in a position to ask Allah for forgiveness for himself and for others when prayer is in place, when salah is in place. When salah is in place, you can really ask Allah for things. I tried to remind myself and you before that the most important thing we're going to ask Allah is forgiveness. That is the ultimate risk we're going to ask Allah. Now we're learning who is in a position to ask Allah for forgiveness. People of salah. People of salah are the ones who truly get to ask Allah for forgiveness. This is the, you know, forgiveness is the key to many things. Well, what's the key to forgiveness itself? The key to forgiveness itself is the prayer itself. This is a month to train yourself to become regular in your prayers. One of the things you and I can do, especially the men here, but even as families, one of the things that you can do that really transforms your life. You're waking up to eat crack of dawn anyway. You're waking up to eat in the morning anyway. If you can make it to the masjid for Fajr prayer, at least in this month, the blessings of that are beyond measure. It's as though you were praying the entire night. You're already here for Isha. If you can try to make it for Fajr, and maybe encourage your children to come, encourage your spouse to come, just show up at the masjid, it's just a couple of rak'ah. Then if you can try and do that, even just that small effort, it can be extremely transformative. Allah says about the prayer of Fajr, Inna Qur'an al-Fajri kana mashhuda. The Qur'an recited at the Fajr time in the prayer, that's being witnessed by Allah, by the angels, it is witnessed. It's special to Allah. So why miss out on that, especially in this month? If we can get in that habit, may Allah Azza wa Jal make that a rizq for us for our entire lives, and truly make us muqim as-salah. So I encourage all of you to do that as much as humanly possible, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept this prayer of ours, and I leave you with this, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't you ever, Allah talks to his prophet now in the next ayah. So this is no longer the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah talks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and says to him, don't you dare ever imagine that Allah doesn't know about what the wrongdoers do. They didn't get away. Ibrahim alayhi salam just asked, forgive me, as my parents, forgive the believers on the day of judgment, on the day of accounting and reckoning. But what about until then? Until then, all these people that are in charge of the Kaaba now, that were supposed to establish the prayer and they didn't establish the prayer, Rasulullah ﷺ is told, even though they're in charge, the mushrikun of Arabia are in charge right now, doesn't mean they got away with it. Don't you ever think they got away from even one day of committing that crime. عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. But by extension, it's also a pretty scary thing. Those who know the turath, the legacy, the inheritance of Ibrahim a.s., and they still don't care about the prayer, even after they were told this, they're considered ظَالِمُونَ. May Allah not make us from them. You know, may Allah not make us from the ظَالِمُون who know about this beautiful gift that our father left behind, and we tossed it away like it's nothing. May Allah not make us from those people, because immediately in the next ayah Allah says, don't you dare think people that do wrong got away with it. Don't you dare do that. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. I'm only giving them extra time until a time when the eyes are going to be wide open and they won't be able to close, meaning judgment day. Then their eyes will truly open. We want our eyes to open to true reality before then, and the only way to do that is the prayer. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us muqimi as-salah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal accept all of our prayers despite their shortcomings, and forgive us for the shortcomings we've had in our prayers in the past and the ones that we are going to have in our future. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Yeah. Huh? Oh, the plate story. Okay, real quick. Yeah, the plate story. It's a cool story. I love the story. Okay. So here's what happened. What did I tell you about the plate? He kept it under his pillow, took it out, and this is like a Pathan guy. He's telling this story in this most epic Pathan accent. I recorded it on my phone. I sat in the back making a video of this guy as he's telling the story. I'm trying to figure out how to put subtitles on it. I'll just put it on Facebook. He'll be okay with it. It's okay. His face isn't showing. So, but let me tell you. So he says, I put the plate, and we're eating food, and my mom noticed the plate. And you know moms, they're like, they're worse than the FBI, CIA. Mom, like, you know. Mom, like, where you get the plate? And he thinks he's smart. He goes, I bought it. And she goes, oh, you bought it. So she takes the plate. She investigates the plate. She goes, this is an old plate. This is not a new plate. Where'd you get it? And he goes, well, I got it at this restaurant. I really liked it, so I stole it. And she took out a stick. And she said, you want this? He goes, no. He goes, you better go return the plate. So he goes with the plate, he runs back to the restaurant, and the guy who owns the place, these aren't fancy restaurants, you know, they're like outdoor things with a shack outside. He goes there, and the guy's busy, and he's trying to find the stack of plates and kind of quietly put it there and run away, so he doesn't get noticed. So as he's putting the plate down, the owner sees him and says, come here. So he shows up to the guy, he says, what are you doing? He goes, I stole this plate, my mom found out, and she told me to bring it back. He goes, why'd you steal it? He goes, I really like the plate. So the guy then went and he told one of his servants, gave him some money. He says, go buy him a new plate. So he got a new plate. And we're having this conversation. And first of all, this is a story about rizq, but it was really a conversation about honesty. And he told me something so beautiful that I want to share with you. He said, you know, you could make money by lying. You could make money by cheating. You could make money by fraud. You could steal money, you could get away with it. Sometimes no government will find out, nobody will find out, and you can get away with it. But let me tell you something. I learned something in life, my parents taught me. He said, if you make money the crooked way in one pocket, Allah will take it out of the other pocket from you and give it to the doctor. And I said, what you mean give it to the doctor? He goes, you're going to have heart problems, blood pressure, diabetes, your auntie will have a problem, your sister will go to the hospital. Some doctor will get rich because you're stealing money. He goes, I don't want doctors to get rich. They're rich enough. I'm going to... That was profound wisdom from the cab driver. So that's my little story of the plate. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.